Bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we look at your word, pray, O God, that you will open our hearts and enlighten them. And Lord, help us to see the truth you have to say to us, and help us to not only accept it, but to realize the nearness of your coming again. That as we look at this time of the year, this season, O Lord, when we celebrate your birth, that it is to realize you came once and you're coming again. You've come, O Lord, and given us salvation. And Lord, you're coming again as King and Judge. Lord, I pray that we will realize this and we will live according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture text for today is found in John chapter 5, verses 31 through 40. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. Chapter 5 in John, beginning at verse 31. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, who sent me, has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his form. But you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me, that you may have life. These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. As we look at this portion of scripture, we see Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees about witnesses of him coming. And we see that when John came, they were very energetic and they accepted him when he came in repentance and baptism. And he says, come unto me and be baptized in the repentance of sin, and you will be forgiven of your sin. And when the leaders of the land came to John, he told them, he says, you bunch of vipers, why are you coming to be baptized? Because you're only doing it for show. You're not doing it because you mean it, but you're doing it because the people are coming and they're repenting of their sins and they know Christ is coming and they want to be ready for his coming. Not realizing maybe that Christ came the first time as a child in peace to show that God is love, that God is peaceful, and he wants peace amongst all men. Then we see that as John upbraided the people of that day, many of them listened to him, and they were excited for a time that he was there baptizing, and he had many people coming to him to be baptized. But they didn't, even the leaders of that land, did not appreciate him telling them that they were not living according to the will of God or the way God would want them. John the Baptist witnessed for Jesus Christ. It says that he seen Jesus that one day, and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." And one day when Jesus was walking, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose." And when Jesus come to him to be baptized, he says, "I should be baptized by you, and not you by me." And Jesus says, "Suffer it to be so, so that the scripture is fulfilled." And when Jesus was baptized, John says, "I seen the dove descending upon him, in the Holy Spirit descending upon him in the form of a dove, and it drove him into the wilderness, and there Jesus was for 40 days living in the desert and then being tempted by Satan and trying to have Satan take him away from the Word of God. And yet, even in his temptation, Jesus says, "Behold, it is written." It is written in the Word of God, "You will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And we see, too, that God himself not only gave Jesus the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit led Christ, and Christ says, "I only speak what I have been told to speak. I speak nothing of myself, and I don't give any testimony of myself, but the works that I do, they testify of me." And we see when John the Baptist was put in prison, that we see there that when he sent his disciples to Jesus and he says, "Are you the one that we look for, or should we look for someone else?" And Jesus told his disciples, "You go back and you tell John what you have seen. People are raised from the dead. People are healed. The blind can see. The lame can walk, and the lepers are healed." And you go back and tell John what you have seen, and he will know that I am the Lord Jesus Christ, come from God. And we see then, even in the beheading of John, that he was beheaded because he stood up for the things of righteousness before the king and before all people. And so the king had him beheaded because of a dance that his granddaughter had done, or his stepdaughter, I guess it was, had done for them before all people. And he had promised her up to half of the kingdom because of the dance that she had performed. And she went back to her mother and says, "What shall I request?" And she requested the head of John the Baptist on a platter. Now, Herod didn't want to do that because he maybe respected John, and he probably went in and talked with him several times. We don't know. But he did it to keep his honor amongst men. So you see, John the Baptist gave his life for the life of Jesus Christ and for standing up for salvation. We see, too, that in the Peter, it tells us that the prophets of old and the angels, they wanted to see how God would take and save the world and how he would bring salvation into the world. And they wondered and they watched on this. And the prophets, as they spoke, they were waiting for God to do something even in their day. And yet we see in Isaiah so many times where Isaiah prophesied, "You shall have a baby born of a virgin, and you shall see a child given unto you." And in Micah, it tells where he was going to be born, in Bethlehem, and all of these things. And you know, the prophets of that day were wondering and waiting in righteousness and in wonder of, is God going to complete these things in our day? And in Daniel, if we were to read, go through into Daniel, we would see that the angel told Daniel, "Shut up these things, for it'll be towards the end of the days," or the latter times, as it tells us in Peter, "In the latter days, we will see all of these things." So the people of Jesus' day seen the beginning of the fulfillments of what God had promised way back in Genesis chapter 3. in verse 15 when he had promised the Messiah in the first place. And then as we go back, we can look back and see many of the things that went on back there, and we can see how Christ came and how he gave his life for you and for me, and how he was willing to sacrifice his own life for each one of us, that we could have salvation in his name, and that we could live peaceably as much as possible with all men. Yet we are told that Satan will have such a hold on so many people that they will want to know, where is this Christ that you talk about? Things have been going on the same way since the beginning of time, and we see that those times are still continuing, and we don't see your Christ. And we stand up and we say, God is sending Jesus again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he will come with his reward to those that believe and those that don't believe. He will have a resurrection of those that believe, and they will go into heaven and eternity with him forever. And those that don't believe, after the 1,000-year reign of his millennium reign here on earth, they will be raised again into resurrection of damnation because they have rejected Christ and rejected what he came into the world to do. And we see all of this so very, very plainly written out in Scripture, in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. And we see Jesus coming and giving his witness. And when Jesus was baptized, God gave witness that Jesus was the Son of God. He says, Behold, my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. At the Mount of Transfiguration, he told them, he says, Listen to him. He's my beloved Son. And Peter, James, and John were up with him on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they were overwhelmed with what they seen, and they did not even understand at all until the Holy Spirit came upon them after the resurrection of Christ and his ascension into heaven. So we see John the Baptist witnessing for Christ, and we see God himself witnessing for Christ. We see Scripture throughout all of it, in the Old Testament as well as the New, witnessing that Jesus is the Son of God and that he came into this world as a baby and he came to save you and me from our own sin, to have the Holy Spirit awaken us, awaken our spirit from death to life, that we can see what God has done for us, that he can give us the peace that we so long for, that he can give us the salvation that our soul desires and that our soul wants to be. We see all these miracles of Christ that he did while he was here on earth and how he says, I am the bread of life. And if we look at the end times and after eternity begins, we see that one thing we'll see in heaven is the throne of God and God himself sitting on the throne and Christ sitting at his right hand. And out of that throne flows the river of living water. And on each side of that river is the tree of life, which gives its fruit every month in its season. And that fruit is to give us eternal life. And that water is to give us purity and holiness. And it tells us that all former things will be forgotten and that we will remember them no more. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more crying and no more pain in heaven because all these things will be passed away. And then it also goes on and it tells us that during the millennium period in Zechariah, it tells us that during this time, life will be extended here on earth. And the people living then will live maybe much longer than we live today. And we can see some people we live maybe to be a century old or thereabouts, and some people die at a young age. Yet it tells us that a man or a child that dies during the millennium period will be 100 years old and he'll be considered a child. So if you look at that, we would say we wouldn't be able to retire under Social Security system until we're probably 800-900 years old. Do you think we'll keep that strength in us? You know, God has a way of working miracles. But Christ also tells us that during his millennium period, he will be in Jerusalem, and that's where he will reign and rule the world for that 1,000 years. And he says every year, everyone will bring a sacrifice or an offering to him in Jerusalem. And in that time, if you refuse to do it, it says you will get no rain the next year on your crops. Or in what it's saying is that if you're a farmer and you bring up an offering and your neighbor doesn't, you would have abundance the next year, and your neighbor would have a famine or a drought. And the same thing goes through for anybody that would be working. They would probably lose their jobs and what we would call filing bankruptcy today. Yet we have to trust in Christ, because he has warned us of all these things that's coming upon the earth. And for the people to say everything has been going continually as it always has been, we are told that in the last days people will leave Christ and that they will go their own way. And they will think they're doing God a favor by putting us out of the churches and killing us. And Christ tells us that if we're taken before the judges or the magistrates, to not worry about what we're going to speak, because the Holy Spirit will give us the words to speak that we need at that time. And so as we look at this Christmas season, we see that Christ came to give us life. He came to give us peace, the peace of heart and the peace knowing that we have him as our Lord and our Savior, and we have the peace which passes all understanding, that not as the world gives, Jesus says, do I give you my peace, but I give you that spiritual peace that can keep your heart and your life at peace regardless of the trials or the things that you're going through in this life. And we see so many things going on daily in our own lives. And we can see that so very, very plainly throughout Scripture. In the Old Testament lesson, we see there where God is talking about the reign of Christ. In most of it is in the millennium period, where he will rule from Jerusalem, because Jerusalem is the holy city of God, and the chosen people of God is still the Israelites, even though they were scattered through the nations because of their unbelief. He says, I will bring you back, and he has done just that. He has brought them back, he has made them a nation, and we can see God's blessing upon them in the times of trials that they have, and even in the last skirmishes that they have had, and they'll have many, many more. And since the last war with the Hamas, the Gaza Strip one, where they said that there was something like 3,400 missiles shot into Israel, and yet God helped those missiles to fall where they didn't hurt anybody. And God kept his chosen people from being slaughtered. And yet it tells us that in the last days, in the Battle of Armageddon, that an army of 2 million people will come from the north and from the east. And they will cross the Euphrates River, and they will come against Israel, and they will be destroyed. It says that God says that Jesus will come at that instant, and he will destroy them, and they will be bearing people for 7 years in that period of time. And the Battle of Armageddon in the valley, they'll make a big place where they bury all the dead, and it'll take them 7 years. And it says it'll be 7 years when they will not cut down a tree for heat, because they will use the weapons of war to heat their homes and the other things that they need. It's an interesting thing to see how God will take and rule the world in peace and in His way. And I believe it'll be like it was in the Garden of Eden, that if we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we can have this peace. And we can know that God, at His appointed time, in our Christmas time, if you want to put it this way, God gave His only begotten Son, and that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. So what are we giving back to Christ? Or what are we giving to God? Are we giving Him our life and saying, Lord, You have first place in all that I say or do, and that, Lord, I want to be Your servant. And Lord, whatever happens, help me to serve You, that You are glorified and not me, because You have come and You have died on the cross of Calvary for me. And therefore, You have given me Your all, and I want to give my all back to You. And I want everything I got to praise You and to glorify You. And we can do that, and we can see that so plainly as we commit ourselves to Christ first in thought, word, and deed, that we would be His servants, and that He would get all the glory, all the honor of saving us and for coming the first time. And we're looking for His second coming, which I believe is very, very near. And for many people, and He calls us out of this world, we would hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And we would be one of those saints that will return with Him to reign with Him for that 1,000 years. It says that He'll come on a white horse, and He will lead the charge with the armies of heaven, and all of His saints will be with Him. And the thing is, when we accept Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, and when we die, we are one of those saints, because we're in heaven with Him in His glory and His honor. It tells us that our bodies will be changed from corruptible to incorruptible. We will know death no more. And we will not know any sin, and we will not know any torment or any suffering, because God will take it all away from us, and He will remove that from us, and He will teach us His way, and we will see then that Scripture has proven again 100% accuracy on the coming of Jesus Christ and how this world was created by Him, how He sent His Son into the world to redeem the world from its sin, and how He is now today making intercession for each one of us in heaven, and that He's, when He comes again, He calls His own out, and they will be with Him forever. And then at the great white throne judgment, He will give rewards to those who have rejected Him. And we know that that reward is condemnation. Our prayer is that we walk with Christ this Christmas time and always, that we work and we live for Him and Him alone, and that we give everything we have to Him first, and let Him lead our lives in such a way that He would help us in all that we say or do, and that all glory would come to Him. You know, in Job, it tells us this, and I like these verses real well. In Job chapter 9, verses 25 and 26, Job says, you know, even though I die and my flesh rots in the grave, I will see my Redeemer. And I will see Him in the flesh. And I will see Him stand on the face of the earth. And I will be with Him, because He is my Redeemer and my Lord. You know, Job, if we read the story of Job, it's one of the oldest books in the Bible. And it was probably written 3,000-4,000 years ago. And we see that Job loved the Lord. And even in his trials and temptations, he told his wife, he says, you know, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do we have a right to expect God to give us good things and not take them away if he feels this is what he wants to do. Well, God had let Satan tempt and try Job. And yet when Job cried unto the Lord, this is what he says, I will see my Redeemer in the flesh. Even though I have been in the grave and my flesh has gone away, I will still see him in the flesh because I will put on incorruptibility. And he knew that, and he lived by that. Abraham lived in believing that God was righteous and his righteousness was counted for faith, or his faith was counted for righteousness. And we see that Abraham trusted God. And we see that the disciples, even though they had lived with the Lord, almost all of them died the martyr's death for Christ himself. And the time is coming even when we may be called upon to do that. And yet we may see hardships in our own lives. And we wonder why. And we seem to not know where to turn, except Peter tells us, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. And in the Psalms, David says, you know, the Lord is my refuge and strength, a very present time and help. And we can call upon him. David knew what it was, that if he didn't follow the Lord, he knew he had to repent of his sin. He had to come back to Christ or to God. And he says, renew in me your spirit. Give me a contrite heart, one that'll follow you and do your will in all things. And that's our prayer for each one of us today at this Christmas season too, that we're not only healed from our sickness of sin, but that we would serve Christ all the days of our life. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would be with each one of us. Help us, O God, as we have this Christmas season, that we would serve you and do your will, that you would see, people would see you in us and glorify you, for you are the one that has promised us life and life eternal as we trust in you above all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn to hymn number 19.